Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today, we're talking hotel brand. When done well, it is a core differentiator reflecting the culture, values, and identity of your hotel, helping to build loyalty, reputation, and price integrity. Brand is not just about a marketing headline or a generic boilerplate. It is holistic. To offer their insights, we are joined by Melinda Speck from Strategic Solution Partners. And through the discussion, Melinda shares examples of where she believes brand has been done well and what it means to adopt a holistic approach. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey, Melinda, thanks for joining us today. Can't wait to get into this discussion with you. How are you today? All good?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you. And you?
Excellent. Yeah, we're all good here. So we're going to be talking about brand. And I'm going to ask you in a minute, I'm going to get you to intro yourself and then we'll kind of dig into the questions. But I think one of the things that we want to do with this conversation and really lean into your expertise is really understanding, because when someone says brand to me, I just automatically think marketing. It's like all about, you know, the brand message. And when we were talking about this subject, when we were thinking, what are we going to touch on? You were just saying, no, that's not what brand's all about. Brand's much. And I was like, okay, right, this will be fun. I'm going to be put in my place here. So that's what we want to get into, is really understanding what brand really means when you're looking at it in a genuinely holistic way, and then how that manifests itself in different elements of the hotel. So enough of me rambling on, because people want to hear from you. So to explain, so to help people understand why we've got you on here, what would be great is if you could just give us an introduction, short little background as to who you are, and then we'll get into it. So over to you.
Sure. Thank you. So I've been in the hospitality business for 30 years. I've worked with brands such as Hilton Hotels and Resorts as far as strong brands go. For independent hotels, I was integral to the birth of W Hotels.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Amazing experience. And I've worked with companies such as 21C Museum Hotels and other smaller independent family-owned resorts. I formed my own company a couple years ago with my husband. I'm a co-founder. It's called Speck Hospitality LLC. And I'm also part of the partner part of Strategic Solution Partners. Mm-hmm. We've been working with them for a while. So we're happy to have that partnership with us as well.
Brilliant. Excellent. And I know that's, you know, Strategic Solution Partners are one of our expert partners. So that's why we wanted to get you on and kind of tap into that knowledge. And very interesting when you talk about some of the brands that you mentioned there. I mean, they're recognized, and the W obviously established itself in one direction and then just exploded. So I'm sure as we go through this, people will understand why your message is, it's more than just what you're saying in your marketing piece. So let's get into it. Simple question then. So if it's not my naive understanding of brand, what actually does it mean? What actually does brand mean from your perspective and your experience?
Sure. Branding is really what it starts with, the foundation of the business plan. It really needs to be interwoven into all of those things that makes the business what it is. Mm-hmm. And then in order to really dig into it correctly and lay that foundation, you work pretty hard in the beginning to lay out brand pillars. You want to understand what your brand stands for, what makes it authentic, why it is going to be what it is. The business is the making money part, right? The brand is the life of it. It's the ecosystem. It's the thing that brings it all together. And it needs to inform the rest of the business pieces and the business decision. So it's really that holistic ecosystem that gives the brand life and personality, or gives the business life and personality.
It's interesting. I'm going to pick up on a word that you used there where it said it informs. Mm. So it's kind of that everything runs from it. It's that key, almost that key, the birth of the idea or whatever. I mean, I'm probably talking.
Yeah, I feel like it's like if you think of it as a body, right? To me, the brand is the blood within it. It touches every single point. And if it doesn't, it doesn't feel authentic, right? So you have that yin and yang of you need to start off with what is authentic to the brand and what you want it to be. And then that needs to flow all the way down to the employees, to your guests, to your shareholders, to your financial stakeholders, all of that for it to really feel true. So you have it going both ways. It needs to start off authentic and then you need to flow it all the way down.
But when you're probably come back to authentic because that's an interesting word.
It's a loaded word, isn't it?
It's like the word interesting, isn't it? It's like authentic. You mentioned you spoke about getting the brand pillars right when you were talking about what the brand means. Can you, you know, without you know, we could do a completely separate discussion just around those, but kind of headlines and how those pillars tie into that authenticity piece. Are you able to just sort of share a little bit of headline thoughts on that?
Of course. And I think it's better to take a specific example. So let's 21C Museum Hotels has been growing really quickly here in the States. I think they now have 14, which is amazing. Started in Louisville, Kentucky. And the company started with Steve Wilson and Laura Lee Brown are collectors of modern art. Okay. And they wanted to open a museum in downtown Louisville, Kentucky to help revitalize the downtown and to showcase what they loved. And then they realized it made more sense to be able to invite people in to share their love. So it became a museum within a hotel. And they're right. So one of their brand pillars is to make sure that the museum stands alone, that the hotel services that, but to showcase and provide a place for that modern art and the artists in all of the fun and lovely ways that artists show themselves in this area. And that brand pillar is huge to their ethos. It showcases in everything that they do and is a part of every brand decision or every business decision, forgive me, that they make. Even each of the hotels has a different color penguin. So,
a different color penguin.
Yeah, you heard me right. A penguin. It's a like a 3 foot tall outline of a penguin, right? So it's kind of caricature-ish, but each one of the properties has a different color penguin. And it just showcases their love of art and the passion that they show to modern art and everything that they do. It's indicative of them and it's truly authentic to what they are.
Maybe wrongly, but I kind of take from there that there's kind of a collective because it's a common animal represented, but by having a different color, it's all, each of them is individual as well, aren't they? So in the same way that the hotels will have their own individual style reflected by the artists and the art, I'm guessing.
And allows them to tie into the local community, which is also very important, right? You're absolutely right with that.
So taking that as an example and picking up on your point earlier about it being holistic and how it impacts into the operation, are you happy to work with that one as an example for us to kind of pull threads off? Can we do that and look at how?
We can, or I'll also Let me use Hilton as an example,
which
is kind of interesting, right? Completely opposite.
Yeah,
so 21C is small independent collection. Hilton is big core brand.
Good to have a comparison.
For Hilton, so you'd think it's this big behemoth, right? And do they really need to worry about people understanding their brand still? And yes, every day, every transaction, every guest. And what Hilton does for their Hilton brands, they have a program called Blue Energy.
Right.
And each one of the different departments has someone that's a part of the Blue Energy team. And that team, their job is to help promote the brand culture for the employees, which then permeates the whole property and then the guest feels it. So kudos to a company that's that big to bring it down to employee and property-based program
that.
Right? So it's important for the brand, obviously, to continue to live and breathe.
And I guess that comes back to where we originally started this, that it's not just a message that you put out. It's actually, and to your point there, those key words, to live it and to breathe it. And that comes back to what you were saying about it influencing the operation and the way that your staff interact, I guess the way that they're trained. I mean, because I often think, and I think we may have touched on this when we were putting this idea together, is that I look at how sometimes you get a subconscious feeling that things don't align. So when you go to a hotel, even if you sit and dine in that hotel, and this is a really silly example, but if the cutlery feels weighty and I'm in a luxury, that kind of gives me a subliminal message that someone, and I know the consciously someone has thought about it.
Yes.
But it reinforces. Is that what you mean by it actually permeating when you're thinking through brand, how it permeates its way through the whole operation? Something as simple as that?
It sure does. Each piece needs to be intentional and feed what your ethos is. Mm-hmm. I call that getting rid of the white noise, right? When you go into a property and you feel like something's a little bit off, that means that the brand hasn't permeated properly. And there's just that little something in the back of your mind that says something's not right.
Like, yeah.
Right? And you want to pay a premium when things feel good, when things all seem to fit. I think sometimes properties may not take it to that extent.
Sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that can be a miss. So for example, there's training programs that luxury properties might use that are, you know, the luxury training companies that come through and they do an amazing job. But if you don't tailor the training to not just luxury, but to or economy, where whatever level that you're at, right? But if you don't tailor it specifically to touch points that make sense to your brand, then it doesn't make sense. I'll use the example with W Hotels. They have the whatever button.
Right.
Whatever, whenever. Did I say that right? Yeah. Whatever, whenever.
Right.
And it's a button on the phone and it, you know, it's the guest service button. But the key, right? But the key with W is that when it, during the birth of it, an executive committee at one of the properties, again, letting the properties feedback up to the brand so it feels true and authentic, said, really, no, so long as it's moral and ethical, we'll try and get it to the guest. It doesn't mean it's free, but it means we want the guest to know that we care that much, that whatever you need, whenever you need it, we're going to do our best to get it for you. And it became this, you know, a little bit of an irreverent, by gosh, we're going to get it done for you kind of thing.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And so, right? Isn't that fun? Yeah. So that becomes a brand touch point, even though guest service is part of everyone's business.
Yeah. But it differentiated it in a way. And I guess, me being a bit cheeky, it's like every time I would stay there, I'd be trying to come up with something that would be more challenging for
them. Of course you would, because you're Trevor.
Just so I could push the button. I was like, right, guys, here's a challenge for you.
Right.
So just thinking about that, because again, we're kind of talking a lot about the guests and the touch point for the guests and how does, and this can be a positive and a negative, but I guess if you're establishing a brand and then how the perceived brand can influence that guest expectation where you can get it right, but also where you can get it wrong. Is there anything you can, with us, maybe not specific examples where we got it wrong, but maybe better examples. are there things that you can pick on or talk to about how that influence around guest expectation needs to be very carefully managed?
Sure. Let me take it back to the launch of Montage Hotels and Resorts. Mm-hmm. So there's an amazing property in Laguna Beach called Montage, and they now are a brand in North America. Montage started for a larger size property. When you went to check in, you didn't actually check in at a front desk. A concierge person came to you and said, okay, Mr. Grant, thank you so much for being here. We're super excited. I mean, they knew who you are. There's tricks about, you know, knowing who you are before you get there. Right. And then they would escort you up to your room and check you in that way and give you your keys at your guest room.
Oh, wow.
So now it feels like you're in someone's home.
Yeah, really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you would do if you had, I always think about it this way. If you had W San Francisco, for example, was $90 million to build in 1997 to 1999. Mm-hmm. And we used to tell our staff, it's like you have a $90 million mansion and you're inviting them into your living room. That's how much fun you should be having. Like, look at what I have. So that's, I feel like Montage did a really good job with that in showcasing the service and showcasing that this is ours and we're happy to show it to you and we're happy you're here.
And that must feed in as well when you're looking at sort of reputation, because I guess if you get that misaligned, and we'll talk about, because it makes me think about pricing as well. If you get that misaligned, so you've got a price point, you've got a brand expectation or a guest expectation about a brand at a price point that you're paying, if you don't marry up with that expectation, then the impact on your reputation, potential reviews, loyalty, that could be quite challenging to deal with that. But when you get it right, on the flip side, you can develop really strong advocates, I would imagine. I mean, W must be a good example of something like that, I would have thought.
W's a great example. So as it was being birthed, it was really this extension of, consider where Barry Sternlicht was. He was in the institution of Starwood, right? Mm-hmm. There was Westin, there was Sheraton, there was already these big brands. And yet he was yearning for something that was a little bit outside the box, something that wasn't your grandparents' version of luxury. And so he spent lots of time with the design, with the lobby being a living room and also turning into more of a cocktail lounge at night, but not so crazy. He spent time with all of those things. And W San Francisco was an amazing example of how much that was appreciated and needed. Mm. So when W San Francisco was built, there were two other big luxury properties for Starwood in the area. And W San Francisco was supposed to be that lower tier, just drafting below those two big boxes. And in the end, it was the ADR leader within 3 months of opening.
Wow.
And it shook people's ideas of what those other two brands were supposed to be. And really, it wasn't taking away from anything. It was just rising the boat for everyone else. If I remember correctly, I believe there was a Hyatt in the financial district that was a price leader at the time. Mm-hmm. And so that was the feeling that was the cap of what W San Francisco could probably charge.
Right.
We surpassed that property quickly.
Wow.
So it was pretty amazing that all of those touch points, the art, the ambiance, the music was such a big deal. The guest rooms, the type of residential feel for anything that touched you, like a throw or even a cordless telephone that was more like home.
Yeah.
All of this seems a little trite now because it's been a while.
But that was a long
time. At the time, it was a big deal. And the intention of it being residential and service oriented and welcoming is still there and it can evolve it with time.
Sounds like a definition of hospitality. kind of feels sometimes that gets lost, doesn't it? Back to your point about welcoming somebody. It's like, well, crikey, how many times do you go into a hotel and you don't feel you're welcomed? You just feel like, well, there's your room, pay your money.
Yeah.
Now, I guess...
Yeah, where's your credit card?
Yeah, again, you know, in fairness, horses for courses. Yeah. Sometimes you just want to turn up, you just want a room. But I guess the point is back to the pricing point that you mentioned there, it's about getting that guest expectation of what the brand represents and the service, the ambiance, but then also that the price point and I mean, in the W case, as you say, you're more than pleasantly surprised. You know, you're like, wow, okay.
Right.
But you know, what you want to do is to know that you've got that price point right, and it is reflective. If you are an economy brand and an economy offering, you expect to have a more economical price, and you expect it different at the more luxury end of the market. And I would guess the ability to tie those things in together, and that's where we come back to this loyalty, reputation, review, and pricing. Those things are so interwoven and interlinked that if you don't get it right, it could be quite challenging.
It can be quite challenging. And I interwoven with everything too that you're saying is, do you want to be a wholly independent brand? Do you want to be a soft brand? Do you want to be a big brand? And how do each one of those potential avenues tie in specifically with what you have? Where do they fit? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I'll use Hotel Del Coronado as an example here in San Diego. It's iconic and amazing, but it's also fairly large, and it depends on group business. Right. So they have been, for the past 5 or so years, they've been a Curio by Hilton, but it's Hotel Del Coronado, a Curio by Hilton. And Hotel Del leads the branding, but Curio by Hilton feeds in the Hilton loyalty points for leisure and feeds in their large group national sales team, which is what they need.
Okay.
That's the perfect fit and allows Hotel Del probably to capitalize on their potential ADR lift because of the name and the reputation. And of course, they've been renovating it for the past couple of years. So that's going to help them quite a bit too. But then take a property like the Inn at the Presidio in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So the Presidio is this stunning park in San Francisco and had officers' quarters for the longest time, and they turned it into a private area instead of military. The military turned it over to the trust, the Presidio Trust. And the Inn and the Lodge at the Presidio, because of where they are and because they have just been renovated and reimagined, they lean on their own. They're just fine to be fully independent, and they're doing very well and have a lift on their own because of location, renovated very well with design and brand in mind, and are truly authentic to themselves, and they're perfect being fully independent.
Poses the that classic what comes first, the chicken or the egg question, I guess. Do you think about a guest profile or market that you want to address? So maybe you're passionate about something, like as you say, maybe modern art, for instance. And so do you then say, okay, I'm interested in modern art, let's make a hotel that's around a museum of modern art, and I can live with my passion, and let's hope the hotel works and we'll build the brand? Or do you think, I'm passionate about it, there must be other people passionate about it, what things would they be interested in? What would they like? How could we find out what that community or it's like, maybe it comes from different points for different people. Do you have a view on it, or from your experience, what you've seen?
Of course, from the branding person, I'm going to say it's about the passion first.
Yeah.
Right. I think you have to stay the course. Mm-hmm. I do think, if you come at this from I have a piece of land and I just want to try and make enough money off of it to, you know, for it to be a business enterprise, to me, there's something missing in that. Mm-hmm. You can be that. There's different hospitality offerings to do that. But if your brand doesn't have a purpose, then all you are is a bedroom and a price. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really it. Yeah. And so I would say, you need to start off with your idea and probably what you like, as you are a consumer of a specific level of goods. Then I would start with that. And then you start doing your research, right? You do have to come up with your persona and your target market, mm-hmm. but your idea of what your brand would be and what it would offer, that has to come first.
I guess that probably...
You're not surprised by that answer, right?
No, not surprised, but I think it nicely... or in my mind, nicely articulates maybe the difference of people that go into it because it's a real estate investment and it's going to turn over, or those who maybe are either have a passion that they think could manifest itself, and a hotel is or hospitality, or just being hospitable or sharing a passion, maybe a lead to how it takes them on that journey. Maybe that's being too altruistic. I don't know, but I don't think you're
too far off the mark.
Yeah.
Truly, you know, the business has to make money. I mean, let's be real.
Of course. That's why you're in business.
Yeah, but if there isn't a purpose behind it, if there isn't an ethos behind it, then it's just a transaction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so maybe this, you know, strong branding route isn't necessarily the right route for you. Instead, then maybe you plug into an engine and you're good to go. Yeah. But to me, the fun part is for your employees, for your guests, and hopefully for you, is when you get to see this amazing passion come to life, mm-hmm. and then you get to make money off of it. I mean, to me, that's the icing on the cake.
Yeah, it's almost like I always think it's funny when you talk about kind of contracts and people say, oh, you know, I'm getting paid for this. It's like, well, hold on. The point of getting paid is because that's just the transaction. What you're actually doing is you're doing the service you're delivering because it's what you want to do or you're passionate about it. And people would just happen to pay you for it. And it's almost the same thing you're saying there, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great if you could take an idea? And I guess that ties us in, and why it's interesting to talk with you, because you know, through this conversation, you've spoken about strong brands, lifestyle brands, soft brands. And I guess what's interesting is from a strategic solution partner's point of view, they work with a lot of sort of smaller groups or independent properties. And I guess there's often an argument sometimes as, well, how do we compete with the big brands?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But they almost have that uniqueness or individuality that there is things that they... Yeah. could be doing. I mean, what do you
think about?
I mean, tell us, what are your thoughts on that kind of?
Oh, it's huge. There's a property in downtown San Antonio called Hotel Emma. It's a small little place that could easily have been written off as nothing much. And yet it was an historic building, and it sits not that far from the Alamo. And the team curated such an amazing place to stay. Their living room, their lobby, is a library.
Right.
And they have a curator of the library to tell you what's there and to help you navigate, to help you feel at home in this space. The guest rooms are all very well appointed, but all on point, for what Hotel Emma stands for. Mm-hmm. And the point of this discussion, this part of our discussion, is that's how you can stand up to brands. That's how you get people to talk about you. That's how the social media buzz happens. I mean, consider when you have people coming to stay in your city, you say, oh yeah, there's this big brand, or there's this little hidden gem that's so cool that you could go stay at, and here's where it is. I mean, it's your sense of excitement to share an interesting piece of your city with someone who's coming to visit. That's what gets you noticed and what helps you compete with some of the bigger brands.
I guess it's a bit like, you know, do you go to a Starbucks, or is there like an artisan coffee shop or something? You know, and there's something when you walk into those independent coffee shops where they do it really well, where it's not a fake independent, but where you actually feel the staff are bought in to the belief and the vision and the passion of the founders of it. And you know, you can see with maybe the partnerships that they have around the provisions that they have there, you know, their pastries or whatever it is that they do, there's something different about it that just separates it from the big brand. And I think it's also the recognizing that it's, you don't necessarily have to capture everybody, do you? You actually have You're actually trying to carve out an offering that will appeal to people, and you want that genuine connection. So they talk about it to other people that then they have similar interests, and that draws them towards you. And I guess that comes all the way back to what you were saying about this brand is a holistic that informs and lives and breathes and imbues within the hotel, and that draws those type of guests to them.
Yeah. I feel like if you do branding right, it serves as a magnet. Mm-hmm. It serves as drawing people in instead of going to reach out to people that don't necessarily fit, right? Yep. You want to find those people or attract those people that fit with your brand. And truthfully, what'll happen is when that happens, then they're going to bring other people with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A brand, if done right, no matter what tier of rate that you are, it allows people to experience something unique mm-hmm. and new. Even, you know, a restaurant, a coffee shop, a guest room, those can all be commodities. Mm-hmm. And yet none of us want to come out to be commoditized.
No, exactly.
We want to go to some place that makes us feel better about ourselves and is part of our personality. And so, yeah, I could talk about that part all day long. You want to be the honey, right? You want to be the attractor instead of saying, oh, here's the persona that we want to go after. Let's build this for that.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that that's where the fun is.
We'll all accept a commodity when there is no other choice. But when we find something that isn't commoditized, we do. Maybe I'm just talking for me, but I do feel, and I look at my children as well, who are, you know, they're, you know, in their early 20s, and they really connect with this overly commercialized, commoditized, you know, they look out for authenticity and genuineness. So, you know, again, depending what your brand is and what your market is, you know, there is a whole generation that are coming up that are actually looking for that authenticity. It's a great thing to lean into.
Yeah, it makes, there's a brand called Supreme that has pop-ups. Mm-hmm. And my kids were absolutely crazy about all of that just because it was a pop-up and it was limited availability. You know, maybe it would be like a little place in downtown LA for a week, and then it would be a tiny little place in downtown San Diego for a week. Although I don't think they ever came to San Diego. I think that was a problem.
Misstep for them. There you go.
yeah. But I agree completely. They're looking for something new and interesting. And I think we all do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think we've almost reached a point, and maybe the pandemic, whatever, everyone will look at that and think it helped us or didn't in some ways. But you wonder if suddenly when we came out, it was like, oh, it all just feels the same still. It's like, you know, it's almost like you want a different experience now, isn't it? It's like I've been long. I just don't want to go to the same thing I was doing for 5 years beforehand. But I could digress. So very, very quickly then, because I'm conscious of your time, and I can get carried away. I love talking about this kind of stuff. Without naming names, what are some maybe mistakes or some obvious things that you've seen that would be easy for people? So let's say we've connected with some people. So people are watching this and they're thinking, I'd love to do something here, but I kind of don't know what steps to take. So apart from reaching out to SSP and you to get you on board, what are some of the things that might be the easy things that you could go down that might be a misstep, so to speak? Are there any obvious things to share? I know that might be a bit of a curveball to throw at you when we've just been all talking.
I would say missing the opportunity to make sure that your staff is involved with the brand and communicating that mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. I think, again, whether it's uniforms, employee entrances, the way you communicate at orientation mm-hmm. with them, all of those things need to be branded. Mm-hmm. I mean, even just think as simple as this: orientation and onboarding for your staff, right? Includes all those things like I-9 forms and identification and all of that kind of stuff. And here's what our benefits plan is. If it's a photocopy of a photocopy and it's all in Times New Roman and it doesn't have a logo on it, it shows your employees, we didn't care enough to do this for you. And it's a second thought. Mm-hmm. Instead, how can you communicate in such a way that's true to your brand? Whether it's the language you use, you know, some brands are a little bit irreverent. Some brands are a little bit more formal. Mm-hmm. All of those things need to be laid into that orientation program. And it's really not that difficult. Once you have the brand pillars in place, then you pass those brand pillars over to the department heads of each one of those areas and say, you guys go for it as best you can, and then have a quick read over it, make sure that it's all good to go. And it's that much further down the line of your employees feeling cared for and part of the brand. I think that would be helpful, right? That's the very beginning of your of your journey in helping your guests feel comfortable, is that first employee interaction.
And the fact that they're then the guest facing and the representation, the embodiment of your brand when they interact with the guests, and the fact that we are in a staffing challenge and a retention challenge, making them feel important, making them feel part of something is a good first step. And then ensuring that, you know, you see that then is representative of your brand with your guests. It seems a very obvious step, but I think it would probably be one that a lot of people are actually missing.
It can be lost in the hurry of everything, right? Yeah. It can, but that extra step is important.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think I'm going to have to let you go. That sounds like a good place to finish on. But I think what it has, I think what it's shown me is we need to get you back on and we can explore this again. I think we could dig a lot more. I love the idea of looking at those brand pillars and what those brand pillars would mean, because I guess there could be some, there's probably some core elements to it. But again, how they're manifested, how they're reflected, could again come back to the differences between properties. So we'll definitely have you on again, but wonderful to talk with you. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Melinda for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.